Blog Talk Radio.
I had to bring mom in on this one.
Anybody grateful for God's blood?
Tell them about it, mom.
Oh, the blood that saved me, the blood that raised me, the blood that healed me.
Yes. Listen. And thank you for the lamb.
Thank you for the lamb. Oh, the lamb that was sacrificed.
I'm so glad.
Show Talk with Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Reverend Lionel Gant from Georgia. Organization Stop the Violence and Incarceration. He may talk a little bit about his organization also. How are you doing this afternoon? Happy Father's Day, Reverend Lionel Gant.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm doing great. Blessed and highly favored. How are you doing, my sister?
I'm doing okay. Hang it in there.
Amen. And I'm glad to be doing a live interview with you. Yes, I appreciate it very much.
Yes, it's been a little while.
Amen.
Yes, sir, it has. So,
glory to God.
Everybody's talking about all the killings, the marching. How do you feel about the marching? The protest, Black Lives Matter.
Well, I think the time has come. Enough is enough. I mean, how much more can the nation endure? How much more can America turn a blind eye to the treatment of its black citizens? I mean, if we're going to represent freedom around the world and human rights around the world, and if we're going to fight against injustices around the world, we have to start at home first, and it's clear to see to the rest of the world that in America, you know, we are the ones that are being abused. This ain't happening to the Hispanic population. This is not happening to the Oriental population that's here in the United States. It's not happening to the white population here in the United States. It's happening to us. But now they have joined forces with us because they are suffering too. And so I think the nation is crying out for change. This is the evolution revolution that we're facing now. The nation is changing. The people are changing. And I think that's what we're seeing across the nation.
Yes, I believe that also the world protested the killing of Mr. George Floyd and the others, the many, many others that we know about and the ones we don't know about.
It's not so much as just George Floyd. I mean,
that's what
this
I was saying. The many.
Yes. I mean, that was
the many
that
other
was
people.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back. Enough is enough. And then right after that, we have another police shooting right here in Atlanta. You know, when is it going to stop? I mean, and this is happening every day. These are not just isolated incidents. You know, this killing and this beating and the physical abuse of Black Americans is happening every day from police violence. And not only that, you know, we're suffering from Black on Black violence, which poverty is the leading cause of that. You know, it takes money to live in America, and you know, our sons are literally dying in the streets. So enough is enough.
You believe poverty is responsible and discrimination is responsible for all the killings? I agree. But
yes.
Explain.
Yes. I mean, if you take a group of people and you put them in an environment and they have no money, they have no means of surviving. A lot of them are surviving off food stamps and whatever welfare benefits they can get, which you know the government has cut those benefits, you know, down to where you're barely surviving off of the food stamps and the money and maybe the Section 8 that they're giving you, and it creates a situation where people have to survive and they have to do whatever they can do to survive, and that leads to crime. That leads to prostitution. That leads to, you know, various things that could happen, to violence, you know, and this is what we're seeing in the Black community. If you take any people and put them in a situation like that, their survival instinct is going to kick in, and they're going to do whatever it takes for them to survive. The Italian immigrants that came newly to America, you know, they had to survive. They weren't allowed to work. They weren't allowed to get jobs. So that's how the mafia was formed. That's how the mafia came into being in New York and in the cities across America. You know, so if you put any, you know, population of people in that situation, you know, it's going to create violence. And what we see happening in Chicago, where poverty is existing, and they're dropping off guns, cases of guns with the ammunition inside of these Chicago neighborhoods. Okay, who does that? You know, who would do something like that? Drop off carts of weapons, automatic weapons, with the ammo in these boxes, and just drop them off in Chicago communities for them to kill each other. I mean, what are they going to do with those guns? They're going to take those guns. They're going to rob something. They're going to kill somebody. They're going to do whatever, you know, they're going to rob drug dealers. They're going to do all these things, whatever it takes to make money. And that's why we see the high death tolls in Chicago. And who's the companies, who's the corporations that's behind these weapons that are being dropped off in these cities, you know, to cause this kind of death? Who's behind the violence and the poverty and the weapons that are being highly distributed in the cities of New York, in Atlanta, in Chicago, in L.A., in all of our major cities across the country? And so the death toll is steady rising. This ain't just started happening with George Floyd. This been happening. And what was George Floyd doing out there? He didn't have a job. He was out there trying to do what he could do to make money, which led to his arrest, which led to his death.
I understand what you're saying. Mr. George Floyd died a horrible death, but I did interviews about Ms. Charlene Lyles and Ms. Antiana Jefferson. They were murdered too, one in Texas and other, I believe, in Pennsylvania. One was pregnant. Charlene Lyles was pregnant, and they killed her and her unborn baby, the police did.
My Lord.
So they have no care alive. I interviewed her sister, Monica Williams.
And this is happening all over the country every day. Every day. This is happening every day in America. And it's high time that it comes to an end. You know, I started this SCLC Stop the Violence and Incarceration campaign back in 2007. And I was crying out at that time because of all the murders and death that was taking place. And now it's taken this long for this to sink into the nation. And now the nation, you know, because of the work we did back then, because of the online campaigns that we launched, because of the many events and marches and programs that we've done, now the world sees what we were talking about.
Yes, now everybody sees what you were talking about back in 2007 when you stopped your organization, Stopped the Violence and Incarceration. You did a lot for people, young people.
Yes.
You did a whole lot.
And I thank you because you've been with us from the beginning. You've been broadcasting and you've been interviewing and you've been, you know, putting the word out there through your radio show for years now. And I appreciate that.
I'm going on my 11th year.
Amen.
Yeah. I do it out my heart.
Well, we thank God that the world is hearing. Amen.
Yes, sir. So, what is going on with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference there in Atlanta?
Well, I mean, we're not responsible for the marches or the protests or any other things that are going on. These are the young people, I think Black Lives Matter, they kind of took the mantle of it, but it's not Black Lives Matter. It is the people. It is our young people who are fed up with this. It's our young people who motivated. You know, in the day when Dr. King them marched on Washington, you know, that wasn't Dr. King's them plan. They didn't plan to march on Washington. It was the young people at the community level, okay, who said enough is enough, who decided they would march on Washington. And then once the march on Washington was moving forward, then they brought in Dr. King and they brought in the leadership. You know the story how President Kennedy, you know, wanted to know about the march, and they asked the black leaders. He gathered all the black leaders in his office and said, "Okay, so who's running this march on Washington?" And they said, "No, we can't stop it because, you know, we didn't start it." So what they did, you know, they put them at the head of it, and, you know, they paid them so much money to take over the march, and that's what happened. That's real history. That's exactly what happened. But it was the people who organized that march. It was the grassroots, you know, people that organized that march on Washington. It wasn't Dr. King, no. And I'm a member of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, so I know for a fact, you know, that is true history. But once we got involved with it, you know, the leadership got involved with it, and it became a historical event because they allowed us to march on Washington. Yes. Mm-hmm. So initially, what their plan was, the people's plan at the grassroots, they wanted to shut the government down. They wanted to go down there and shut down the Congress, shut down the government to stop it from working. But it was organized into the march that we saw at the Lincoln Memorial and, you know, and the shutdown of the government never did happen. But this group that is out here right now, they are determined to shut this government down if this government does not comply with the needs of Black America. But now, what I don't like is the fact that other organizations, you know, under Black Lives Matter, you know, hijacked the protest. They hijacked, you know, the campaign for their own special interests. And we saw a lot
that,
of...
That
you know,
is what I knew would happen.
Okay. Go ahead.
They used Black people. They used the protests, the marching, the civil rights area, all of that. They use all of that other races of people do, and it drowns out Black people. They try to drown us out with their own wants.
Agenda,
and that's
yes.
Not
with
right.
Their own agenda. Mm-hmm.
Their own agenda, yes.
But that's why you know we are not out there. We're working on the things that we said we would work on. You know, Dr. King's last mission was the Poor People's Campaign, and the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. That's what we are working on right now. Our leadership is working on the economic revolution, on the economic improvement of Black America. And until we equalize the economics of America, until we get America on a level economic playing field, we're not going to see any changes in Black America. And America cannot solve our problem. What we're going to have to do is go to the United Nations, where we are going to be declared as one nation of people, a sovereign nation of people, of Black people living in America, you know, coming from different backgrounds, but we are all American. Every one of us that were born here on American soil should be considered as American citizen. But here it is, 150
so
years
we're going
after
to
slavery,
be sovereign, like the Indians.
Huh?
Similar to the Indian sovereign? What do you mean?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And because
what
they
do you
because
mean,
they
though?
Are a sovereign nation, because they are a sovereign nation, the United States government had to make treaties with the Indians. They had to give them land. They had to give them, you know, their rights as a sovereign nation. Okay, with the Jewish people who have Israel, who have the land of Israel over there now, they declared them as a sovereign nation of people. And that's why they were able to get their own land, to get their own country. The United States has given $38 billion for their support, just as the United States government gives billions of dollars to the Indians and to the Japanese who were colonized over here in the United States after the war. You know, all of these things, all of those ones that they had in the internment camps or those camps that they had them in, they had to compensate them economically. You know, that's why you know they have, you know, shops in our neighborhoods. That's why they have, you know, the economic well-being that they have. But Black America has never received that because they have never looked at us as a sovereign nation, and they are refusing to look at us as a sovereign nation, because the moment they do that, they're going to have to give us the reparations that we need. They're going to have to give us our land. Remember, they never gave us that 40 acres and a mule. What happened
right.
to our 40 acres and a mule?
That's right. That is so right.
What happened to leveling
so,
the economic playing
right.
field?
That's
mm-hmm.
right. So the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and you, which you are part of, a big part of, are going to go to the United Nations.
I am because I'm representing the SCLC Stop the Violence and Incarceration campaign, and I've been working with the various different organizations that are connected with the United Nations. And yes, we're going to ask to be a sovereign nation. That's the only way America can't solve. Black America needs to hear what I'm saying today. Okay, America cannot solve your problem. Because systemic racism is deep in America. Until we become a nation of people where we have our own governance, where we have our own security forces, where we have our own banking, where we have our own systems in place to protect us as a nation of people, America is not going to do anything. They've had 150 years since the abolishment of slavery to give you whatever freedom they were going to give you, and they're still killing our sons and daughters in the streets. We're still discriminated against across America. We are still,
yes.
I mean, we've been marching, singing, we should overcome for a long time, and they still haven't done any of the things that they say they should do for us as a nation of people.
So what other organizations are going to the United Nations, and when is this to take place?
Well. There are many organizations that have already been, you know, pushing for reparations. There are many organizations that have been, you know, pushing for nationalism, and I'm working with those organizations now. I don't want to give out all of their names and things of that sort at this time, because, you know, we become a target at that point, you know. But as far as Dr. King, you know, he had a dream. He always was stating that he realized that we had integrated ourselves into a burning house, that Malcolm X was right, that in order for us to obtain the freedom that we need, we have to separate from America instead of integrating into America.
Yes, that is so true. I believe the integration of the schools was a bad idea.
Oh, it assimilated
personally.
Us. It made us weak. It made us American. We assimilated into America, into American culture, into American way of life, into American society, and that was damaging to us, because now we don't have a voice. We didn't, you know, they allowed us to become mayors, they allowed us to become congressmen, they allowed us to become city councilmen, you know, to so-called represent, you know, to represent our people, or represent our cities and our districts. But tell me something. Since we've been under these black politicians, since we've been under these black leaders, what has that done for us? What has that done for black America when we're still leading in unemployment? We're still leading in homelessness. We're still leading in the most cases of abortion. We're still leading in the most cases of drug addiction, of incarceration. What has that done for black America? Even though for the last, let's say, 40 to 50 years, we've been under black politicians, what has that done for us?
I don't know. We've had some freedoms. We're not on a plantation. We do get paid to work, even if it's low income.
Okay. Well,
but
let me answer that. Okay.
They're killing
the Mexicans
us
come over
in the
here.
Streets.
We have the right to vote. Okay. We have the Civil Rights Amendment that's been passed. All right. The Mexicans that come over here, they don't vote. They don't care nothing about no civil rights. But they got houses, they got lands, they got cars, they got everything, okay. And then the Jews that came over here, they didn't ask for no rights. They didn't march, they didn't protest. Well, yes, they did. They did a little bit of marching and protesting, but they got all of the wealth of America, and like I said, right now America is paying $38 billion to Israel. Right now, that's my money, that's your money, that's our tax dollars that they're paying to them. But you won't pay black America not one red cent for
my understanding for was that was already their money. They kept their money. They put sanctions on the money. That wasn't reparation.
Who?
That was my understanding, that it was already that country's money, but they had put so many sanctions on them that they couldn't get their own money.
Who, Israel?
America did that. America kept their money. They put sanctions on them, and it was like $400 or $600 million. And after so many decades of them keeping it, it accumulated to $34 billion. America only gave them $1.7 billion of their money. Other countries gave them money also. Gave them their money.
Why? They're not the real Jews. They're not the real Jews. We are the real tribe of Judah. We are the real Israelites. What they, by the DNA test that they ran on the graves in Egypt and the DNA of the people of that are living in Israel proved that they are not the Hebrew nation. We are. The DNA only matched one nation of people in the world, and that was us that are living in Black America. We are the true descendants of Abraham. We are the true descendants of Isaac and of Jacob. They are not. They came from Khazar. We know where they came from. We know they came from Germany. We know exactly where those white people living in Israel now. We know exactly where their roots come from. They never lived in Africa. How can some white people be living in Africa? How can white people be living in Africa? That don't make no sense. Okay, so we know they're not the true Israelites. The true Israelites are you and me. The people that are living in America, that was enslaved in America, we are the ones who fit that DNA. We are the ones who are the legal descendants of Abraham, not those that are over there in the Holy Land. So that money should be coming to us, not to them. They should be paying us that money because they are not the nation of Israel. They may be by name because they chose that name, but they are Khazars. They are Jews by religion, but they are not Jews by blood. And I'm going on your radio show saying that live, so I have to stand by every word that I said.
All right. You stand by every word that you say. Okay, so when reparations, I just believe that if we get reparations, which has already been ruled by the United Nations that they owe us reparations, we still haven't collected, that they're going to put people over it, pay people to be over it, and to decide what is done with the money.
Well, I believe we're not going to get
individual checks as citizens, as black people.
Then that's not reparation. By definition, that's not reparation. I mean, you did it for everybody else. Why you can't do that for us? You know, the hatred for Black America runs so deep in this country that they are afraid for us to even bring that to the table. They're hoping that we could march and sing, "We Shall Overcome," and they'll give us a little trinket. They'll give us some, look at what they're talking about. Oh, we're going to reform the police. What do you mean reform the police? Unless you change the hearts and minds of these police officers, unless you change the individuals, you can put all the laws you want on the book. They're gonna continue to abuse our people. They're gonna continue to lie, you know, and get away with murder as long as they can, because that is their nature. That's what they do, and the black police are included in that. And it's a shame. I say shame on you, black police officer, for the way you treat our children, for the way you treat them worse than the white people do. So I'm not excusing you either. So the problem with systemic racism in America, it goes too deep for America to solve that problem. It has to be solved through the world courts. It has to be solved at a higher level.
So, since they ruled for reparation, where is that coming with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference and the economics?
How is that coming along? I can't speak for our for our, you know, national leadership, because they have a lot of things on the table that they're working with. But right now, our main focus is rebuilding the black economy, you know, building our economy from the people up. I mean, what they're trying to do is level the economic playing field, and everything that we're doing as an organization is geared toward that. No, we're not out there marching in the streets. We done marched. We done sung. We done did all of that. And until we come to the table with some real economic change for Black America, because that, I mean, if you give them a decent job, then the black boy, then our black boy, they won't pick up the dope sack. They rather get a paycheck every week than be going out there risking going. Now, forgive me. Now, there is a small percentage of blacks, of whites, of Hispanics, of all races and denominations. They just choose to live a life of crime. That's the life that they want to live. They, you know, they glorify that life. So let's just say 10% of them, they're going to choose that life anyway. But the majority of people, when given a choice between having a job or getting out there committing crime, they'd rather have the job.
Yes, I believe that too. I believe people would rather have the jobs too. I believe that wholeheartedly.
Mhm. And so that's what we're keeping our focus at right now, on creating real economic opportunities for our people.
Real economic opportunities, something black people don't have a lot of economic opportunity.
I mean, we can have a job, but you know, the key to economic wealth and economic growth, you need to have business. You need to have some type of income that's, I mean. Okay, if we look at the Iranians and the Iraqians and the, you know, Saudi Arabians and all of these different people that are coming into our neighborhood, what are they doing in our neighborhood? They're opening up stores. They're opening up gas stations. They're opening up liquor stores. They're opening up, you know, businesses in our neighborhood. They're opening up the check cashing places. So they are opening up businesses in our neighborhood that are thriving off of the money that we're making every day. Now, we have to open up our own stores. We have to open up our own grocery store. We have to open up our own restaurants, our own gas stations. You know, we got to do that in our neighborhood in order to keep our money in our community, and we're not doing that. We're just going to work every day, paying the bills every day.
That's what. That's basically it. That you are telling the truth about. That's basically what people do. Because it's hard to have a business of your own if no one comes.
No, but we are owed that. I mean, they did that for the other races. They did that for the Jewish population. They gave them business loans. They gave them the money. The banks gave them
the
money
to
do what they had to
do. Come over here from the Middle East. People come from the Middle East. They automatically end up on gas stations and gas station stores and motels and things.
Amen.
And all of their names just about seem to be Patel. Last name Patel, P-A-T-E-L. And in their country, that means hotel. So all of them can't be named Patel.
Amen.
So I don't get all that. But what I do know is things have got to change. We can't keep being murdered and oppressed. It's got to change. Equal opportunity. They said black people should just bring themselves on up. Black people can't bring themselves on up because of systemic racism.
And education. We have the poorest schools in the nation. Our teachers can't even teach, you know, and they say, well, these children are so bad. Why are they so bad? Because they're put in an environment. You remove the father from the home. You put them in a living condition where they can't thrive. You're putting them in schools where they can't thrive. And if you don't have an education, how are you going to make it in this world? I mean, if you don't know basic math, you know, everything that has to do with business has to do with math. If you don't know how to judge percentage, if you don't know what interest rates is, if you don't know, you know, what a loan is, if you don't know money, if you don't know finances, how are you going to conduct the business? Okay, so that forces them into prostitution. That forces them into drug dealing. That forces them into running con games on the street. That forces them into robbing crews because they have to survive in America. It takes money to survive in America, and they're going to get it by any means necessary.
Okay. So I don't know why it's so hard to pay reparations to black people. You know, just because black people can sue for discrimination, that's not a reason to pay reparations. And I think that's what they're going by, that black people can sue for discrimination.
Well, America doesn't want to admit to the shame of the slavery that they put us through for over,
America,
you know,
should be treated as the racist. It's the racist murdering country they are.
That's right. And to me,
by the world,
you know, that's what God is doing right now. God is going to show them for the nation that they are. And you know, I love, let me say this for the record. I love everybody. I love all people. I love black people. I love white people. I love, you know, Hispanic, you know, Oriental, whatever. You know, Iranian, Iraqian, it doesn't matter. I love everybody. And I have friends from every one of those genres that I just named. Okay. But the bottom line to this thing is this, okay? We are the ones that are being mistreated because not of our education. Not of our wealth or our standing, but we are being treated this way because we are black. And that's where the problem lies. Because before I say the 1700s, you know, there was no such thing as racism or anything like that. You know, before we saw slavery here in America, you know, in the 1500s, 1600s, you know,
yeah.
there was no, you know, people weren't doing that. You know, they weren't calling people white and black. They was calling you from where you came from. If you came from Liberia, they called you a Liberian. If you came from Egypt, they called you an Egyptian. You know, if you came from England, they called you, you know, you were British, you know. But now all of a sudden, this thing, when America comes into being, we start talking about this black and white, the separation by the color of the skin, so that they could feel in superior. But now God is bringing that to an end.
God is. He's bringing all that to an end. And they're murdering us. There's a lot of black people being murdered by the police. Some of it, like Mr. George Floyd is saying, he and the police are dating the same woman. But I don't know if that's true or not. So I wouldn't go by what I'm saying, because I'm not 100%
mm-hmm.
certain that what I'm saying is right, that they dated the same white woman. So I don't know.
As a law enforcement officer, you know, you don't have to take somebody's life to apprehend them. You know, you're supposed to apprehend them and let them have their day in court and let them, you know, and let the justice system work, you know, on behalf of that person or on behalf of the citizens who he was. I mean, you know, he was inside the store trying to pass off some fake money or. I heard so many stories that he tried to use a credit card, so I don't even know. That seemed like something, you know, that strikes my attention. it makes me feel like this whole scene was staged, that they staged this whole thing, set this up so that they could cause the marches, so they could cause all the things that we saw to distract us from what's really going on. You know, and what's really going on is what's happening in China, you know, what's happening, you know, what's happening over in Russia, what's happening in the rest of the world, what's happening in Israel right now. You know, Israel is trying to take over the, yes, and we're not even paying attention to the things that are really happening in the world because we're being consumed with distraction.
Israel is trying to do what?
Oh, well, Israel, because of Donald Trump, they're trying to go ahead, and he made an agreement with them that they'll be able to get some more land from the Palestinians. They're over there trying to widen out their borders right now. That's going to cause a war in Palestine again. And if Trump is not reelected, then that plan, that deal that he made with them is scratched. So they're moving forward with their plans to take over over the West Bank, to take over more land.
What's happening in Russia?
Oh man, the whole protest with them, transforming from a socialist nation to, you know, the nation that they are today. They're killing people by the hundreds of thousands, you know, especially the black people. They mistreated them. They've done, all kinds of things that they're doing right now. And then as far as the Ukraine is concerned, you know, that's a war going on right there, right now, that we are oblivious of here in America because the press ain't talking about that. The press are talking about, you know, people marching and protesting. They're talking about, you know, stuff that, you know, that won't even make a difference, as opposed to you know, reporting the real news that's going on around the world. And we know what's happening with China. We know that this pandemic was not a pandemic, but it was a plandemic. They planned this, and this
the
thing
coronavirus
was unleashed.
Is what you're talking about?
Yes, coronavirus.
The coronavirus
was
a pandemic. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their people died too over there in China.
Yeah, but they
and
have.
I saw videos
yeah,
where they had
trucks. I mean, look what our death toll is up into the hundreds of thousands now.
Yes,
okay,
and Florida is real bad.
Yep.
Florida is about as bad as New York, almost as bad as New York with the coronavirus. I know I wear my mask and stuff like that and wash my hands and all of that. Because Florida is ate up with it. But the coronavirus is something else. As far as it being a pandemic, I know I saw videos of Chinese trucks where they were going spraying disinfectant all the buildings and cars that were outside all over China.
Well, why haven't we taken steps to stop the
Well, that's Mr.
spread.
Trump. He don't really believe the coronavirus is bad, I guess. That's Mr. Trump's doing it.
Well, what about us as citizens? We don't have to wait on the government to take action. What about our mayors? What about our governors? What are they doing, you know, to fight this pandemic?
Yeah, they're spraying cars and buildings down. Everything that's outside is being sprayed. The sidewalks, the roads, everything is being sprayed with a certain type of disinfectant, a certain type of something that kills that. Cleaning it. They clean it all outside. They do it all day long in China.
Amen. Especially,
yeah.
I mean, we especially should be doing that to our train stations and our buses and our, you know, and all of our common areas. We can fight this epidemic. but they're
yes,
not. They
the show
want
is about to
die.
End. We got about 5 seconds, so I thank you for coming on Show Talk with Angela Butler.
Thank you.
Thank you.